Just after midnight local time on Tuesday, two supertankers were on fire in the Strait of Hormuz. The Mombasa and the Al Bahia, both flying the flag of the United Arab Emirates, were hit by Iranian cruise missiles in Omani waters. One Indian crew member is dead. Eight more are wounded. Six Indian, two Ukrainian. 4 days ago, this was a war of declarations and warning shots over a shipping lane. As of Tuesday morning, it has a body count on the water. You're listening to Civic Intelligence. Tonight, how one attacked container ship became a closed strait. How a closed strait became three, then four, then five nights of American airstrikes. And how all of it became a 20% toll and a naval blockade the President of the United States says he's owed money for. Start where the story starts. Saturday evening, July 11th. Iran's Revolutionary Guard attacked a container ship called the GFS Galaxy, flying a Cyprus flag, as it moved through the Strait of Hormuz. One crew member is still missing. 10 more were rescued, all of them. India's Ministry of External Affairs confirmed Indian nationals. Within hours, Iran declared the world's most important oil choke point closed. First, it was closed until further notice. By the next morning, the language had hardened, closed, until the end of American interference. That declaration landed on the wreckage of a diplomatic pause. 2 days earlier, strikes had been paused while Qatar shuttled peace proposals between Washington and Tehran. President Donald Trump, a Republican, ended that pause himself, posting to Truth Social that the ceasefire was over. The next day, he went further. Locked and loaded, decimate and destroy all areas of Iran. Hours later, Central Command opened what it called its third round of strikes. 7:15 p.m. Eastern, roughly 140 targets hit overnight by fighter jets, drones, and Navy vessels, pushing 3 nights of American strikes past 300 targets total. Iran answered the answer. By Sunday morning, ballistic missiles and drones were flying at American positions across the Gulf. An airbase in Qatar, air defense batteries in Kuwait, the Fifth Fleet's home in Bahrain, port facilities in Oman, an airbase in Jordan. Counting a missile alert in the United Arab Emirates, 6 countries were reporting incoming fire or warning sirens in a single morning. 3 people were hurt in Qatar, including a child. Every Gulf capital Iran claims to be defending from American interference, the same capitals getting hit by its own missiles, condemned Tehran instead. The Gulf Cooperation Council held Iran fully responsible for what it called destabilizing behavior. Trump, asked about the closure on Meet the Press, didn't hedge. "It's open. We bombed the hell out of them last night." Here is why a declaration about one strait moves markets and gas pumps 8,000 miles away. Roughly a fifth of the world's oil trade passes through Hormuz. Before the weekend's closure, Brent crude had already climbed to $76 a barrel, up about 6% on the week. American gas hit a national average of $3.88 a gallon, up roughly 50% since the war began. War risk insurance for a single tanker transit was running 3 to 5% of the ship's hull value, millions of dollars per voyage, before a drop of oil moves. And the reason any oil was moving at all was the United States Navy. Since early May, Central Command had already escorted more than 800 vessels carrying some 400 million barrels through the choke point. The global oil supply was, functionally, an American convoy operation before this weekend even started. Then the escalation ladder added rungs fast. The following Monday brought a fourth round of strikes, and for the first time in the campaign, Central Command paired its drones with one-way attack sea drones, hitting sites east along the coast that the earlier rounds hadn't touched, including Bandar Abbas and Keshem Island. Iran's own state media produced its first casualty claims of this phase, and they didn't agree with each other. One outlet said a strike on Abadan killed 2 people. Another put the same Windows toll, province-wide, at 1 security guard dead. Neither number comes from central command or any independent count. Both are Tehran's account, not a verified one. Jordan alone absorbed 3 separate rounds of Iranian fire this week. 8 missiles intercepted the first time, 3 the second, 4 more the third. That same Monday, on a phone interview with Fox and Friends, Trump stopped disputing whether the strait was closed and started describing what he'd do with it permanently. "We're going to keep the strait, and we'll probably run it. We'll become the guardian of the strait. Maybe we'll call it the guardian angel of the strait. We should be reimbursed for that, a lot of money, because the other nations are very wealthy." Guardian angel. That's the branding. By Tuesday, the branding had a price attached. Rhetoric became policy within a day. Trump announced a 20% toll on all cargo shipped through Hormuz and reinstated a naval blockade of Iranian ports and coastline effective Tuesday, July 14th at 4 p.m. Eastern. He's calling the policy the Guardian of the Hormuz Strait and named 5 nations expected to help cover the cost: Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Bahrain. Shipping data firm Kepler counted just 6 vessels transiting the strait on July 12th. A choke point carrying a fifth of the world's oil was, by that count, passable and nearly empty at the same time. That's the backdrop the Mombasa and the Al Bahia sailed into early Tuesday morning. 2 Iranian cruise missiles hit the supertankers in Omani territorial waters. 1 Indian crew member is dead. 8 more are wounded, 6 Indian and 2 Ukrainian. Both ships caught fire before their crews brought the blazes under control. Iran's Revolutionary Guard claims the tankers ignored warnings and used what it called a mined route. That is Tehran's account, not an independently verified one. A third tanker, linked to Britain, was hit by an unidentified projectile off Oman's coast that same morning. No injuries were reported there. After weeks of ship seizures and warning shots, these are the first deaths at sea of this strike phase. The people making these calls have names and titles. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's response to the third round of strikes was 2 sentences: "Iran made a poor choice. Now they pay." At the United Nations, Ambassador Michael Waltz described the American campaign as aimed directly at Iran's radar sensors, drones, and missile batteries right there on the strait to, his words, "eliminate and degrade their ability to attack the global economy." Central Command itself is commanded by Admiral Brad Cooper. And before its most recent strikes, Trump previewed them on Hugh Hewitt's radio show. "We're going to hit them very hard tonight, and we're going to hit them hard tomorrow." Central Command's own count calls what followed its third consecutive night of strikes. Other outlets call it a fourth or fifth round. This show isn't going to pretend that arithmetic is settled. What's settled is the target list. 7 sites hit in a 5-hour mission, 4 of them places this war hadn't touched before. Trump floated one more target by name, a fortified site near Natanz he calls Pickaxe Mountain, and said operations could run 2 to 3 more weeks. On Iran's side, the man deciding whether to keep matching round for round is Supreme Leader Mujtaba Khamenei, who took the title after his father, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, was killed in February, and has pledged to avenge him. Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf has cast the whole weekend as America's breach of a mid-June ceasefire memorandum, not Iran's. "The era of one-sided deals is over. We told you, keep your word or pay the price. Reality is knocking." Both governments are citing the same document to justify opposite actions. The war is no longer contained to two countries. This week, a separate actor entered the fight directly, Yemen's Houthis. After Yemen's own government struck the airport runway in Houthi-held Sana'a to stop an Iranian flight from retrieving a funeral delegation, Houthi spokesman Yahya Sari declared the end of the de-escalation phase, named Riyadh's King Khalid International Airport as a target, and fired ballistic missiles at Saudi Arabia, which intercepted them. The United Nations has warned that Yemen risks sliding into full-scale conflict, another front nobody was budgeting for a week ago. Here's where it stands. 4 days ago, this was a disputed claim about a closed shipping lane. Today, it is an American toll of 20% on Hormuz cargo, a reinstated naval blockade, five Gulf states named to help pay for it, and the first confirmed deaths at sea of this strike phase. Central Command is on its third, or fourth, or fifth, depending who's counting, consecutive night of hitting targets it hadn't touched before. The President is talking about weeks more of operations and a strike on a fortified mountain. And a war that started over one container ship now has an active front in Yemen that the United Nations says could become a full-scale conflict on its own. Nobody involved is describing any of this as close to over. That's the show. For every source behind tonight's numbers, Central Command's own statements, wire reporting from across the Gulf, and the primary documents both governments are citing, check every source for yourself at civicintelligence.news. If you want this story followed as it develops, subscribe wherever you're listening.